Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 119. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights over the past several weeks related to readying our spiritual heart to study the Word of God. You'll notice on this screen, in this last few weeks this has been playing, and it's probably making you dizzy, but the point of that is this. If you don't seek the Lord's face, and you don't ask Him to open your eyes to understand the Word of God, you'll be no different than when you started, when you get through reading. Because then you're looking at it as just a mere academic exercise. It's like doing your reading for a class. I know whenever I was in college and also in high school, there'd be extensive amount of reading that we had to do. One of the things that I did in college is we were required to read Beowulf. Anybody ever read Beowulf? Those that were in college, remember the book was about this thick. And it was the most uninteresting book I had ever picked up to read, and the print was so tiny. And we had to discuss it. After we read the next chapter, we had to be able to discuss it. And Dr. Edna Earle Hobbs was our teacher, and she just absolutely loved Beowulf. And I felt sorry for her. I just didn't know what else to do. But she loved Beowulf. And I remember I would get there and I said, I did not finish reading this chapter. And she's going to call on me tonight. I know it. And so I would read through it. And you just didn't read through it fast. And you didn't remember half of what you were supposed to understand. Well, it was purely an academic type thing. I really had no interest in Beowulf. All right? I was more interested in other things. Now, this is the point. When we come to the Bible and you open God's Word, if you just take your bookmark and you pick up where you read yesterday, and I'm going to read through that section right there. All right, Jesus, I pray that you'd help me throughout this day. Amen. And you put your Bible down, you haven't studied, number one. You haven't asked God to open your eyes, and we're going to get into this tonight about the meaning of that verse 18 in Psalm 119, because this is the heart and soul. It's repeated in the New Testament, just in a different way. The Scriptures are not of any private interpretation. You understand that? I don't just open it up and say, well, I think it means this. Well, your thinking may be right, or it could be wrong. But if you haven't asked God to give you a spiritual understanding, you will not benefit from what God wants to share. And that's the point. He wants to open His Word to your heart. He wants to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ, to you in the Word of God. He wants you to know the truth that He desires to share with you. But if you don't ask Him for spiritual eyes to see, to open your eyes and give you understanding, then you'll be no different when you're done reading. You'll have done an academic exercise. You will have followed through with that, close your Bible, move on without your day, and you will not get what God wanted for you. So let's look at this verse 18. This is the next section. We did a series on Beth, which was the house of God. And we talked about the fact that God wants us to be blessed. And we spent a lot of time dealing with that in that passage. But then we go on to Gimel. That's the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Look at verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want us to look tonight, and we're going to have prayer in just a second, but I want to draw your attention here to something here that's very, very important. Open. In the Hebrew, it's gala. Gala, and we're going to get into that. It means to unveil, to take away the veil. Remember we talked about the Fences Are Good series, and we talked about the veil that was rent, torn in two, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary? Well, He wants to open your eyes. He wants to unveil. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. All right? I've said this many, many times, and I'll keep saying it till the day I die, but there's nothing automatic in the Christian life. Oh, we're saved. Huh? Okay. Good deal. I'm going to heaven. It's just automatic. We just put it in drive, boom, and there we go. No, that's not how it works. There's an interaction every day that we have the privilege of communicating with the Father through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ. That is a real interaction. And it's something that many times gets missed because we're so shallow, we're so thin in our biblical understandings. So absolutely thin. And we listen to preachers on the radio and we have no discernment that what they've just said is inaccurate. We don't know the scriptures well enough to know whether they're telling the truth or not. The radio preacher I told you about 2 weeks ago, I was listening, going over to Pensacola to visit my Uncle Ray, and this guy was preaching and he was talking about, there's no such thing as knowing for sure you're saved. And he went into this tirade about these people that believe that you can know for sure that you're saved. And I just went over, clicked it off. That is just heresy. The Bible says we can know that we are saved. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God doesn't have children and then gets rid of His children and then brings them back again and then throws them out. I just finished reading the biography of Richard Moore. You probably never heard of him. There were four little kids on the Mayflower. They were the Moore children. The father had told the mother, I don't think these four children are my kids. Accused her of adultery with a man down the street. So, he paid for them to have passage on the Mayflower. Did you know that story? A lot of us we talk about how wonderful it was, but they were part of the strangers that are talked about. The four Moore children, the three of the four died the first winter. One of them froze to death. The other two got very, very sick and died. Only one survived. His name was Richard Moore. Richard Moore was just as corrupt as they come. He was raised by William Brewster. You know William Brewster? He got custody of Richard and raised him, and Richard went away from God when he left home at age 20 and became a mariner. He traveled the Atlantic Ocean, made 36 trips back and forth across the Atlantic Ocean as a worker to start with, sailor, and then as captain. And by age 60, he had navigated the Atlantic Ocean. He had gone all the way down to South America. He had been to the Caribbean several times. He knew his way all over the Atlantic Ocean. But he was a corrupt man. He rejected Christ. He had two families. He had one in Massachusetts, living in the town of Salem. And he went over to London, and he met a woman and married her over there and had children with her. He had a total of 8 children, 4 in the United States or in the colonies, and 4 over in London. The man was corrupt. And you know what he did? He had to keep a secret because he would lose his ship if they found out that he was bigamous. So he lied. The family in England never saw him again after the age of 54. Never saw his children again, never saw his wife. Has no idea what happened to her. Didn't know his kids. He left his wives to raise the kids. He was out making money. He was out navigating and buying properties and going here and there all over the Caribbean. He was just as corrupt as he could be. This was a young man that spent 11 years in the household of William Brewster, who was taught the scriptures in church, memorized scripture, and yet when he became age 20, after all the benefit of that, he turned his back on it and never went back. And died in his 80s without Jesus Christ. It's one of the saddest stories I've ever read. To have the benefit of being brought to the new world after being rejected by his own dad. The kids were farmed out among the families of the Plymouth group, the Christians. They would not allow any of the strangers to raise the kids, but the three oldest ones died, and the youngest one, Richard, survived and lived to be in his 80s. And yet, the Word just never took root in his heart. And as I'm almost done with the book, It's now in his later years when he was brought to court over and over and over again because of his promiscuous behavior. In Salem, anybody know what Salem, Massachusetts is famous for? The witch trials, all right? Well, guess what? He was mixed up in that to start with, and was mixed up with several women in that regard, and was brought before and eventually stripped of all of his material wealth. He was stripped of his possessions and his lands. All of that was lost that he had gained in his own world that he was doing. And everything that the Bible says will happen to a person that rejects Jesus Christ happened to Richard Moore. And yet the knowledge that he had no impact. My point in sharing that story is this. You can sit down and open your Bible and you can read it faithfully every day. You can be a PhD. You can have theological training. But if you don't seek the Lord's face for understanding and illumination, you will get up and you'll be no different than when you started. That's what happens. Notice this. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy law. It's the word Torah, right? And Torah means teaching. So, here's Dr. Robert Alter's translation. Unveil my eyes that I may look upon the wonders of thy teaching. Now this is David, a writer of Scripture through the pen of inspiration. All these 150 psalms, many of them written by David himself. And what is he asking? Lord, would you unveil my eyes that I can behold the wonders of your teaching? So there's this three things that I want to leave you with tonight before we go to prayer time. Number one, unveiled eyes are not natural. Are you following me? Unveiled eyes are not natural. Something supernatural has to happen for you to understand this book. I don't think a lot of Christians even go there in their thinking. I think, well, we possess the Bible. You know, I know how to read, so I'm good. No, you're not. You need understanding from God. You need to have your eyes unveiled. What does that mean, unveiled? It means to have all the scales. In Florida, we have alligators. Do you know what they have over their eyes? Alligators have a special lens that rolls up when they go underwater, and they can see perfectly underwater. And they can look up and see you. You can't see them, but they can sure see you. They've got a special lens that protects their eye, and they can see underwater. It's just like a diving mask for them. We need that when we come to the Word of God. Oh, no, you don't understand. I've got advanced degrees. I've got training. I understand all these things. Let me tell you something. I've got a library with books in it that were written by PhDs that hate Christ. And they try to interpret the Bible, and they're Christ haters. But look at the Book of Mormon. Twisted and all kinds of stuff. And these people that spend their lives studying the Book of Mormon to gain truth. Or people who have advanced degrees. Dr. Jordan Peterson, who was at McMaster University up in Canada. Very, very gifted mind. Very, very smart man. And he tries to write about biblical things, but he struggles. I've gotten through his first book, where he took on the Bible from a philosopher's point of view. And he tries to unveil truth from his philosopher's mind, but you come away empty because a lot of the things that he comes up with is totally anti-biblical. Now, there's a lot of good things that he says. He has some conservative views, but he also has libertarian views. Watch out for the libertarian. You know what it is? It's almost antinomian. They don't want restrictions. They don't want people telling them what to do. They want to have an open mind. Well, guess what? When God saves you by His grace, He gives you His mind, the mind of Christ. It's a different mind. So we have to understand that unveiled eyes are not natural. They must be open to supernatural truth. We have to be given the capacity to understand. The capacity. What does that mean? Capacity. If I have an empty gas tank that holds 25 gallons, and I go and I get a glass of gas, all right, and I try to pour it in the tank, how successful am I going to be? You know, you can say, you're going to spill it all over the place. That little glass just doesn't have the capacity to deal with your need, which is to fill up your tank. You don't go to the gas pump and squirt a little bit in the glass jar and run over to your vehicle and try to pour it in. That's not going to work very well. You and I are given through the Holy Spirit of God the capacity to understand the Word of God, and I am to pray for that. Does everybody understand that? I'm to pray for that. It's not automatic. I still live in a sin-cursed body. So it's not automatic. I go to Him and I say, Lord, unveil my eyes that I might see what? Isn't this amazing? To see what? Wonderful things. The word wonder is an interesting Hebrew word. It means things too high that cannot be seen with the naked eye. All right? I can't see the galaxies beyond what we have here in the Milky Way. Now, I can see star clusters, but I can't see it without a telescope, and then you start seeing, oh, that's a distant galaxy. That's got a spiral look to it. Or there's Jupiter. Jupiter has a big red spot, but I can't see that with the naked eye. I have to have help. And that's the idea of wonders. Things too high that cannot be seen with the naked eye are only unveiled by whom? By God. By the Lord. He is the key to understanding the Scriptures. The second one here is a requirement. Revelation. All right? That's the word law. Teaching requires understanding granted through the Holy Spirit. Requires. It's not optional. We can be very, very smart, and we can parse English words and so forth like that, but God has something much deeper than just little things. You know, here's a Bible verse, right? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Who defines holy, Lynn? Yeah, God does. But what if I've got my own view about what is holy? Is that acceptable? No, it's not. But I was taught when I was a kid that this holiness means you dress a certain way and you cut your hair a certain way. That's holiness. But is that what God said? No, it's not. It's man-made. Now, the Bible does say it's a shame for a man to wear long hair. And I say amen to that. All right? And it also gives some understanding and instruction about how women are to dress. They're to dress modestly. So we take what God says and we apply it. I don't have the liberty to come up with my own definition of holy. God, through supernatural means, will reveal His Word and what He means by holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, what kind of a standard is that? I'm holy. That's what God says. How in this world can I be holy like God is holy? The answer is, you can't. Who is the one that gives enabling? It's God's Holy Spirit. It's the radical transformation that's brought about in salvation through Jesus Christ that sets the stage for you to be able to, in some measure in this sin-cursed body, to live holy lives. Hagios means separated unto God. It goes back to the Old Testament. They used to have these ceremonial cleaning of all the articles that were used in the process of sacrificing the animals, the tools that were used for that. The tools that were used for the processing of the meat and the putting of the animal on there. There were all kinds of different things that had to be ceremonial cleaned before they could be used. That's what the idea of agios means. It means to clean, set it apart for use. We love going to places like Golden Corral and Ryan's Steakhouse, I guess, is just about gone. I remember that with vivid memories because we could take our kids and they could eat to their heart's content. All right? Dad, I want another hot dog. Go at it, son. It didn't cost anymore, right? But I've been to a few of these places where you picked up the plate and you flipped it over and there was somebody's goodies from a previous meal. All right? Mashed potatoes. The one I hated the most was eggs. You see that yellow stuff stuck to the plate? Oh, put that down real quick. Now, it may have been sanitized. All right, it had been through the dishwasher. And they had sprayed it with sand, but it still got somebody else's egg on there, and I'm not eating on that plate. Isn't it amazing that we're repulsed by that? But we'll offer God some slipshod way of living. Isn't that interesting? Just slipshod, do what you want, no big deal. And yet you have standards for what you will eat your food on, but you have no standards when it comes to living your life. This is the point. Your eyes haven't been unveiled. Your eyes haven't been unveiled. If you have that attitude toward Christian living, that it's just good, everything's good. Gospel in the cloud, do Calvinists teach. That it just hovers over you. You do whatever you want to do in life because the gospel cloud's hovering over you. And when you die, it will carry you on to heaven. It does not matter how you live on this planet. And yet I find in God's word, abstain from all appearance of evil. Flee youthful lusts. I could go from verse to verse. I could take you to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. I could take you to all kinds of different things. Approve Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. There's a whole list of things that I'm supposed to approve, and none of them are sloppy and slothful. They're all wonderful things. Turn there very quickly, in case you don't believe it's in the Bible. I know you do, but I want you to see this, and we're going to be done and go to prayer. Philippians 4, finally, my brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, as opposed to, say it please, false, all right? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, as opposed to what? Dishonest. Whatsoever things are just, as opposed to what? Unjust. Whatsoever things are pure, as opposed to what? Impure. Whatsoever things are lovely, as opposed to what? Unlovely. Whatsoever things are of good report as opposed to bad report. You got to read that way and understand what is God doing. He's elevating life here upon this earth to a different standard given in His holy word, and He tells you words to live by. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Think on these things. So we need supernatural understanding. I don't approach my Bible time in a big hurry. I don't approach my time. Well, I read my passage for today. Well, did you understand anything that you read? Well, not really. I didn't have time. Well, then you need to set apart time for the study of God's Word. And you need to pray this prayer. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from thy law, from thy teaching, the wonders of your teaching. Without that, you did your thing. You came and you opened your Bible, you read your verses, and you closed it up, and you're no different than when you started. Father in heaven, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we would take to heart the truth of this verse of Scripture, this prayer that David prayed, a writer of Scripture, a one who was filled with the Holy Spirit to write Scripture, said, I need to have my eyes opened. I need to have the scales broken loose, and I need to have my eyes unveiled to the supernatural truths, the wonders of your teaching. Father, work in a very powerful way, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.